Thank you, Sue and Jeff. It's been a long time since Sue and I have shared the platform, but our paths have crossed over the years, over many years, and it's good to be with you again. Thank you. Hi. Hey. I almost forgot the right greeting. Wow, it feels like forever since I've seen you. One Sunday away makes a huge difference, and I'm just thrilled to be back after one Sunday away. And man, do we ever have a wonderful retreat. I mean, it was spectacular. And if you feel a difference in the energy in this room, it's because our women brought it back. And it wasn't just for us. You know, we are evolving to the place where we know that what happens that's good for us is good for many, you know, because we are one people. So I have a little bit of a scratchy throat today, and I have a story about that, which is interesting because we're talking about the throat chakra today. So I went to the Austin City Limits Music Festival on Friday night. Well, let me tell you what's happened in the last 10 days. I drove down to San Antonio a week ago Friday to see Susan Crenshaw. And then I went to Blanco to the women's retreat. I only got a little bit lost. And then came home from the women's retreat on Sunday afternoon and left on Monday to go up to Arlington because my brother was down visiting the rest of the family for a couple of days from Colorado. I came back Wednesday night. Thursday, I don't remember. I think Leah and I talked on the phone about what, you know, how can I catch up? And then Thursday night, David, my son David, came in with three of his friends from TCU to go to the festival. So Friday was all about getting ready to go to the festival, and then we went to the festival. And I got to tell you, it's a young person's sport. Man. This is the third year or the fourth year in a row that I've gone. And let me tell you, there's a point to this. It goes with the lesson, I promise. Friday, I ran some errands, and I was just feeling like, man, I just don't know if I want to deal with finding a parking place down there and getting through all the crowds and the dust and the people and the dust and walking and walking and walking. And I told David, I said, I'm not really sure I'm going to go tonight. And just for an instant before his 21-year-old self kicked in, I saw this real disappointment. I went, yeah, you know, I think I can do it. And those sweet guys waited till I was ready to go, and we all caravaned down in two cars. So it was great. The first person we went to see was Khalid, who's a young Khali. This kid is 20 years old. He's from El Paso. He grew up in El Paso. He loves El Paso. He has an album dedicated to El Paso. And he just won an American Music Award for Best Soul Rhythm and Blues Singer. So this guy smiles all the time. And I thought, okay, I just want to see Khalid. I don't know his songs, but I like this guy's energy. And it was as good as expected. Then we went to see Hozier. And for, yeah, and I knew him. I knew there would be some ladies in the crowd that would be going, yep. And some guys in the crowd going, yep. Hozier's this beautiful Irish rock balladeer. He sings, his first big hit was called Take Me to Church, but doesn't have anything to do with church. But you can tell people that, and they think you've been to see some, you know. So, oh, I went to see the Take Me to Church guy. Oh, well, that's good. You're a minister. Yeah. Doesn't have anything to do with it. And then we went to see a group that Taylor turned me on to called Odessa. And I like electronic music because sometimes you just got to get in that rhythm where you don't have to think about it, and you just need some of that big bass music to shake up 1, 2, and 3. You know, just to kind of get in there and shake everything loose. I'm talking about chakras, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Just, And plus they've got, you know, great vocals. And so I left that crowd for a few minutes and then came back, which you shouldn't ever try to do at ACL. And I was coming back trying to get, I knew where my son's group was, trying to get back in the dark. And there was a guy sitting down in the middle of all these standing people with his legs straight out in front of him. And I found him and tripped right over him and went, just like, boom. It was so not graceful. But what was really sweet was that I had about five people. I mean, everybody went, oh. And I had five people that I was just like on the ground and then I was up. They just lifted me onto my feet. And as I was making my way through the crowd, particularly the young men, would put their hand on my shoulder or my back to make sure I was steady and getting through where I needed to go. And I was so touched. And one young girl said, she seemed like she wasn't quite in her normal mind. She said, "Are you trying to get up to the stage?" And I said, "No. I'm trying to get to my son right there." "Oh, okay." I said, "You have a nice night." And so I got back. I got back to the kids. I have some good bruises to show for that journey, but I'm fine. It's just a little festival injury. And then we left that concert a little ways into it to go see Sir Paul McCartney. I could cry right now. 9 years old when he was on, the Beatles came to Ed Sullivan's show. It's been 54 years that I have not seen one Beatle in person. Until Friday night. So I can maintain my boomer card. And this is the point of the story. All parts of my body were affected by being in music. I love music. That's part of my lifelong learning habit, is to keep learning about new music and to listen to stuff that irritates me or that I'm not familiar with, because it rearranges things in your brain. You know, it helps you to figure out what it is that's moving you and what it is that's out there in the culture. It's important to know how our culture is being affected. But what happened with Paul is, first of all, we were far enough back that if somebody just arrived from another planet and was standing where we were, you would never know that he's the age he is. You'd think he's 30 or 40 years younger. And to be in a crowd of thousands of people singing with one voice to every song he was singing, that's when, "Oh my God, Paul McCartney," and "Oh my God, Paul McCartney," came out right here, and I sang a little too loud and a little too long. So I overused my fifth chakra just a little bit. But man, was it beautiful. It was so beautiful. From "Hey Jude" to "Oh blah dee, oh blah da." I mean, totally nonsense syllables. And we were singing them like they were, you know, the greatest chorus in history. Because it kind of is. So, I'm still a little tired today. Don't know if I'm going back tonight. Did not go yesterday. Did a funeral yesterday. Did a funeral and also saw at Unity Church of the Hills a minister that I helped in the L&O process, licensing and ordination process, as she was going through ministerial school. And teaching a course there was one of my teachers from ministerial school, with whom I've remained good collegial friends for 28 years. And so I was able to see him again. And so it's been a very lovely weekend, and then I get to come be with you. So the last 10 days have been exhausting and perfect. And I'm glad to be back standing in front of you. I want to say something before I forget. I don't know if you know where our YOU and Unitines are when we're here. There are two rooms right back here in the corner. The green rooms, as it were, because they really are green. And the YOU is in the left room. We have enough middle school children that we cleaned the excess furniture out of the right side room, and that's where our Unitines are now meeting. So we are growing enough to have our high school teenagers and our middle school teenagers in separate groups, because they really are in different developmental stages. And so I'm so excited about what's happening. And Courtney's not in here now, is she? And yeah, she's with them, yeah, or over there. And I'm just grateful for what she's doing, and I'm grateful for those of you who have volunteered to meet this afternoon. Okay, the fifth chakra. You ready? It's all about getting to this. My will is God's will. God's will is my will. There is no difference between God's will and mine. That's what the fifth chakra is about. That's a big one, because it requires us to go to a place of unknowing. We grew up in with our tribal idea of authority, that the tribe and its customs had dominion over us, that there are certain ways you're supposed to act in your family and certain ways you're not supposed to act in your family, and there's ways you're supposed to act as a woman, there's ways you're supposed to act as a man, there's ways you're supposed to act as a straight person, and if you're a gay person, act straight too. You know, that was during my growing up era. So we had our tribal authority. And then we began to mature spiritually, physically, emotionally, moving away and questioning some of the things of the tribe. And we begin to think that we have authority over our choices, and that we can decide how we're going to do things. And you know that the first time you stand up for yourself in a place where you've not stood up for yourself, you experience a moment of absolute power. And usually it has to do with speaking some words, so you know what it's like for those words to come out of you, because they're not just coming from your throat. They're coming from your first chakra all the way out. They're coming from a depth. Now, the next stage of maturation is to imagine that something unseen, the power of spirit, has dominion over you. Not in a way that says, I'm going to totally change your life and you're not going to like it. But that's our fear, isn't it? Our fear is that if we surrender ourselves to the unknown, which is also the mind and the will of God, that we're going to have to give up something that we don't want to give up. We're going to have to change the conditions of our physical existence. And that challenges something very primal in us. That's when we also can kind of have a pretty strong reaction and run back to our tribe and go, ooh, too scary. Too scary. But we have an opportunity to exist in the unknown, in which we say, basically, this is the short version of this lesson. God, whatever. whatever. And that's a huge whatever. That's a whatever with no conditions. That's a whatever that says, I will live in your will, but take this away. Take this part away from me. Add this part to me. I'm going to live in your will, but here's my recipe. And it doesn't work that way, does it? Not if we really, really surrender. Not if we get down on our knees and surrender. Not when we get down to, for some of us, that bottom that we need to get to in our lives. And that's not just for addiction. Although fear of surrendering to something greater than ourselves is usually what keeps us in it. It's like, oh, if I surrender that will, I'm going to have to give up all this other stuff, so I'm going to eat this, and I'm going to drink this, and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to have too much sex, and I'm going to do weird stuff that makes me unhappy, that doesn't fulfill me, that doesn't let me live who I am. And so we have to get down to, okay, nothing in my life changes whatsoever, I'm still surrendering myself, my will, because there is no separation really between our will and God's. God's not going to come in and slap us around. Oh, well, I'll explain that in a second, but God gave us free will. We're born with free will. We're designed with free will. And it's only when we're headed in a direction that is not for our highest good that we begin to feel those slaps. They're self-imposed. Quit hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself. And we want to blame it on this person and that job and that condition and God itself, when we're the ones hitting ourselves. Now, this isn't for us to guilt ourselves about anything, but it's just to say, oh, maybe I need to look at another way. And I didn't bring it with me today, but I printed off Father Richard Rohr's meditations this week. He used a lot of the readings from a book written by an anonymous author from I don't know what century, called The Cloud of Unknowing. You've never read The Cloud of Unknowing. It's beautiful old language, but it really just brings you down to going into the darkness of not knowing what's next. Even in your meditations. Let me tell you, if you have ever sat down for meditation and remembered the sweetness of a previous meditation, and you try to attain the sweetness of that meditation again, it is not going to happen. If you go into that meditation expecting that the answer to your dilemma is going to be bestowed upon you, I'm waiting, God. There will be nothing. Hasn't the voice of the divine spoken to you most profoundly when you were least expecting it? When you're out looking at a tree and suddenly, bam! When you're in the midst of your tears and the last thing you could think about doing is praying, bam! There's that moment of clear, cool water that is still and profound and says this. And I know I've told some of you about my calling to ministry did not happen under ideal circumstances. I was trying to meditate because I was so holy. And I was sitting in a beautiful prayer garden. And crap was falling out of the tree above me. Little acorns and little things falling out of the tree. So I moved to another location. And I started getting itchy all over. So I changed locations. And there was a beautiful fountain, and the housing around the fountain was just wide enough to lay down on. And you could get just a little bit of the refreshing splash from the fountain. So I laid there looking up at the darkening sky, crying, tears going into my ears like a country song, and saying, "What? What do you want? I can't pray. What do you want?" And I found out. Because the voice that's not a voice said, "You're going to serve me for the rest of your life. You will speak to the people for the rest of your life." I went, "Really? Are you sure?" And there was a profound silence, like, "Don't ask me again. You know what you heard." So I got busy. 2 years later, I was in ministerial school. So, beloved, here's what's required of us. The heart chakra. It's about love. But love without wisdom is foolish. Love without wisdom just goes, la, 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 everything's fine. I love everybody, even that person that's abusing me. Even that person that's toxic for me. La, 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 I love them. La, 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 I'm not listening to anything else. We have to be careful. Wisdom without love can be harsh. You know what it's like to be a head person? Do you know what it's like to be a head person and try to figure God out? Can't happen. There's been lots and lots of books written trying to figure God out. And there's been so many books written because nobody can figure God out. Because God exists now and now and now. And your next breath is an expression of God now. You didn't have that breath before. You have it now. And here comes another one. And that's where God is. And in the next one. And we have to be able to live with this paradox of God eternal and God momently. We have to live with the marriage of this and this. It's good to get yourself smart. It's good to get yourself educated. It's good to read the words of people who might know more than we do. And it's good for us to open our hearts to love and heal all the things that need healing. But also in our head, it's good for us to take care of the messages that repeat themselves that are no longer serving us. Yes? It might require us to give up our old way of thinking. Carolyn May says that the notion of releasing our power of choice to a divine force remains the greatest struggle for the individual seeking to become conscious. The sacrament that's associated with this chakra is the sacrament of confession. Because we're all accountable for the way we use our power of will, our willpower. And when we have not used our power successfully or to the highest good, we usually have to get it off our chest. When we've got something that's out of alignment with us, if we've transgressed, that's an old word, but you know what I mean. If we've done something that is not true to us, we have to do something about it. And so it's not just about going to somebody else and saying, oh, this is what I did, and then going out and doing it again. Because your head and your heart now know that that's not going to work. So you are bound by them not to do it again. But there's also the idea of confession is that we're not meant to live with those unresolved things. Why do you think so many criminals get caught? They tell somebody what they did. Duh. I think some criminals do it because they want to get caught. You know, just look up dumb criminals on Google. Like the guy who tried to give the note to the bank teller to say, I want the money in your drawer, on the back of his own deposit slip. Here, give me your money and be sure and catch me right afterwards. But criminals will say it and it'll sound like bragging, but it's because they're trying to get something out of them from here. You ever use that expression, I got something stuck in my craw? Or is that just Texas? You know, what? I don't even know what your craw is. It's your throat. It's a part on a chicken, I think. It is a part on a chicken, isn't it? Good. I'll keep my cred with the chicken raising people here. You've got something stuck right here, something that's on your mind, that's stuck right here, that needs the work of your heart, you're going to be able to eventually get it out. Because what might be stuck in your craw is that undelivered communication. I should have taken that chance to tell that person I love them because I didn't have anything to lose. I had a situation this weekend in which my mind and my heart worked in spite of me. I ran into someone with whom I'd had some conflict in the past. And we both changed over the years. And I'm sure to her surprise, she heard herself saying, I'm just not sure that I'm enough. And to my surprise, I heard myself saying, but you are enough. And in that moment, there was healing. Two sentences. And I don't think either one of us expected it. But we were standing in that open place in which the marriage of the mind and the heart was ready to take place. This is really good stuff. I know that Kit talked to you about it on Wednesday night. Just want to give you a few little tips before we go. The prayer for this chakra is, you choose and I'll follow. And God, whatever. Those two are pretty simple. You could write them down if you cared to. The essence of the fifth chakra is faith. We have to have faith, or else we'll never take that great leap. We'll never take that great leap and say, I'll follow. You say, choose, and I'll follow. That ability also allows us to check our negative thoughts and opinions before we impose them on someone else. Because how can a heart and a mind that are living together do that? It's totally out of alignment with that. The other thing that working on the fifth chakra will do is allow us to give up the need to know why a thing is. There's a great story in the chapter about a woman who, she just kept releasing to God. She had some physical ailments that could not be diagnosed. She kept asking God, I'm releasing myself to you, I'm giving myself to you, but in the back of her mind was always, and you're going to take this away because I'm asking you. And when she realized that her surrender had to go a little step deeper than that, she began to experience less of it, but it didn't go away. There are those of you sitting out here amongst us who have chronic conditions that might not ever be resolved. And to live with that and say, use me, my will is yours. Use me without conditions, not asking for anything. I'm affirming that your will is my will, no matter what. No matter what. Requires a great deal of courage, doesn't it? So, here's a few things, real quickly. I'll wrap this up here. The greatest act of will in which we can invest our spirits is to choose to live according to these rules. Make no judgments, have no expectations, give up the need to know why things happen as they do. I'll make a photocopy of this if you want. Trust that the unscheduled events of our lives are a form of spiritual direction. Anybody had any unscheduled events in their lives in the last week? Month? Yesterday? Have the courage to make the choices we need to make, accept what we cannot change, and have the wisdom to what? Know the difference. That's what it's about. It's more than we can cover today, my friends, but it's very, very important. So if this starts to get a little clogged up here, neck, all these areas right around here, this starts to get a little clogged up, just look at where your head and your heart might be at battle with each other. Because that's right between here and here. Now, to start our meditation today, I'm going to ask you to do something that we did at the women's retreat, so all the women that are here can do this. This is what's one of the easy ones. We're not going to paint. We're not going to do anything like that. So I'm just going to ask you to start your meditation. Just hum a note. Just very quietly hum a note. It doesn't have to match anybody else's. Everything will sound fine. So we're just going to start. Take a breath when you need to and continue. Notice that you feel the vibration all the way up to your eyebrows and all the way into your chest. Listen to yourselves. And stop. Oh, beloved, you've just been a choir of angels. You've just opened up a pathway of openness so that your head and your heart continue their conversation with each other, and maybe they're starting that conversation for the first time. So that we walk through our lives no longer just thinking or just feeling, but we're think-feeling. We're feel-thinking. We're speaking our truth, and no negativity comes out. Not upon another person. For then we've damaged one of our beloveds with whom we take this journey. Your throat chakra is precious. It is your means of expression. So let your expression be divine. And this week, when you dwell in God, dwell with no expectation. If all that appears before you is darkness and dryness, stay there. And if it happens again, stay there. And make friends with the darkness, make friends with the dryness. For God is everywhere. There is no place that the divine is not. So lightly touch your throat. And bless this very powerful instrument of your expression as a divine human. With your hands still there, I'd like you to whisper, "My will is your will." Together, "My will is your will." We're going to do it again, and I want you to feel the movement of your throat, all those muscles, all those things in play. Say it a little bit louder together. "My will is your will." Feel that vibration. Feel how powerful that is. So as you go forth this week, beloved, be gentle and easy with this knowledge. Be patient with this integration of mind and heart. Be mindful. Be mindful of the times when your mind and your heart are not in union with each other. Oh, beloved, you are precious. All is well. And all is well. And so it is.
Alleluia.